I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Michelle Griffin. She is the founder of Brand Leaders. She helps subject matter experts own their message, build their platform, and become the go-to voice in their field. She has her own signature framework called Own Your Lane. And she guides leaders into positioning their brands, growing trusted LinkedIn presence, and developing visibility strategies that lead to speaking, media, and thought leadership opportunities. I can't imagine a business that does not need what Michelle brings. Michelle, welcome.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Craig, for having me on the show.
Yeah. So anyway, we met, you know, I think we kind of met through Matt Zahn. And yes. I mean, Matt's such an amazing guy. Mm-hmm. And so I always love the people that Matt hangs around with. And so I've been looking forward to having you on the show. So, you know, what you do in so many ways is a little bit of a mystery to me. I mean, I get the concepts. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain something that's just, it's hard for me to understand. I mean, I look at some people that, you know, they go off, they become a big brand, everybody knows them, and they're not necessarily the best. They're just really good at promoting themselves. Now, I'm not saying they're bad, but there's a lot of talented people in the world. And let me just kind of tie in my, you know, where I live in Austin. We have amazing musicians here. And the nice thing about, you know, listening to music in Austin is you can hear a quality of music that normally you'd have to go pay hundreds of dollars to hear at a concert. And the difference is the guys here, for whatever reason, are not a nationally known band, but they're just as good. And I feel like there's a lot of businesses and a lot of business owners where the owner is, they're talented. They're just as talented as many people that have a much bigger presence, but they don't have the presence. Why is that?
Well, you bring up a good point, and it doesn't matter if we're in B2B or consumer side or musicians. We can't go by our talent alone. It's sad but true, you know, with 8 billion people in the world. No one knows us unless we put ourselves out there and get visible with a plan and a presence. And dare I say, like a purpose. I'm very driven by that. No one's just going to know us. So I like to take it, and especially from the TEDx talk I gave at my alma mater, FSU, 2 months ago, was that we all have gifts, talents, business expertise, whatever that needs to be out there. And if people push back on that, it's not about you. It's of you, but you have absolutely something that someone can benefit from. These Austin musicians, when you stay hidden, you're hiding your gifts to the world to impact more people, you know, drive that bottom line, whatever it is. So I think the first part of my work is that I get people comfortable with that. And trust me, I know, because I have a background in master's in PR, so used to having others spotlight and tell their stories. And I know firsthand it's hard. But when you flip that switch, Craig, you're going to get out there, you're going to be visible. And I like to say visibility is not vanity. Visibility is being valuable. The opportunities come to you. The doors open. The bottom line grows. And you feel fulfilled in business and life. So that's why what I do is so nebulous and intangible, but the absolute results are what everyone wants and needs, right?
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? I mean, what should people do? What do businesses do if they want to get their brand out there?
Yeah, well, it starts, you and I met on LinkedIn, and that's where as soon as I left my role of many years and smack dab in the pandemic, we all got on LinkedIn, right? Everyone's like, build a brand, and it's nauseating. It's ad nauseum. Build a brand, get visible. But you know what I found in working with clients, businesses, from college students to CEOs, company leaders, you can't just jump. You gotta have a plan. And so my entire work that I do is help people have that entire plan, that visibility plan, that foundational brand alignment. Brand's nebulous. I get it. Look, I struggle with it too. When I go to things, people are like, what do you do? I'm branding. No one knows what branding is, but they know when they like something and they know when they don't. And that's the vibe and perception. It's intangible, but it's this energy we need in business and life. So what I do is I help my clients from advising, speaking, and workshops get that absolute, here's who I am. And let's put in some tangible things. I know who I am. I know how to talk about who I am. I'm known for something so that people remember me, refer me, recommend me, choose me, hire me, pay me. These are the things that when you're known and you're known for something in specific, and that's what I help my clients do, people buy into that and they want more of it. So that's what I do. It's this intangible connection point, but we can't see it. It's not like I'm trading something tangible, but I'm helping you absolutely get foundational ready so that you can do all those wonderful things. And that's a beautiful thing in business and life. And that's why absolutely love what I do.
What would you say are kind of the essential ingredients to pulling it off?
Well, I can just share my thing because I saw there was a lot of what I call fluffy branding. People just go do this. I mean, there's no basis. There's nothing that I want to relate to, and resonate with. And that's what a brand is. So I went and I, years ago, before I even started my job, I would speak and do things. And I created a 7-step framework. And in the spirit of life and too much content and ChatGPT, I knew we need simple and we need easy. So last year, when I was writing Own Your Lane, I created the 4 steps. I brought it down to 4. I'll tell you real quick. Here's a good foundation. If you guys can nail this, anyone listening, watching, this is the foundation I teach. Starts with L, launch your vision. And this is your purpose. Why are you in business? Right? Business solves problems, but what is that professional purpose that's going to keep you out there? Right? And I know we all have a story around it too. So a lot of that's ingrained, your guiding principles, like get all that set up. And also, let's get some numbers and data. Where do we want to go? What do we want to do? If we don't know that, where are we going? Right? So it's very data driven and purpose driven. And then we're going to A, articulate your difference. This is your positioning. How do you show up in the minds and the market of the ideal customers? So we want to position you first. That was a big disconnect I saw. A lot of people just start with the branding, even the visuals and all the stuff that makes no sense unless you back up, get your positioning straight in the market, right? So I help them carve out how they show up and so that the right people associate with them. And that's probably my favorite step. And then we go into the third step is navigate your brand, which is your presence. This is the stuff people see. You communicate and bring that brand to life online, offline, especially on LinkedIn. So everything you see, every touch point is absolutely aligned. And that could be, we could get into, that's where a lot of the marketing comes out too. We do that. And then I'm keeping this real high level and quick. And then there's E, and that is your proof. This is your elevating your authority. There's a lot of people who can say they do things, Craig. Give me the proof. Give me the receipts. So I really work with my clients, especially with my master's in PR, and I bring this in to help personal PR, right? With leaders and teams and experts. And we get them to speak or guest on podcasts like yours or speak on panels and do thought leadership things to really elevate and get those social credibility proof, right? And so when you have this beautiful foundation, the right people, the right things come to you. And in turn, the people I teach to do this and empower and train and equip, they're like, oh, I'm so clear. I'm clear in who I am inside out. I'm confident I can get out there. I'm competitively advantaged. It's just a ripple effect. They're sharing their
Well,
expertise and it's out there.
when I think about the first one, what's your purpose? That reminds me of Simon Sinek's talk, Start With Why. You
A
know,
little
it's
bit, yeah. But it's for people. It's for people.
right.
His is company. But yeah, it's the inner stuff we need.
Well, and the thing that strikes me about that is, you know, your purpose isn't, you know, like for me, my purpose shouldn't be, you know, hey, I just do marketing.
Yeah.
It should be, if I'm understanding, you mentioned it as something long term, it should be, I'm trying to change the world in this way. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a bigger picture thing than just the tactical marketing, you know. And I don't know what areas, and I would nuance it a little bit. We don't just say I do marketing. I know I would nuance it to help a certain element or lens. But yeah, you would have a big picture why and statement and reason for being. Now, a lot of my clients have these injustices or things they see, and when they come to the table, a lot of people why they're in business. Like, Craig, why are you in business? What led you to start your business? I bet your purpose is underneath that somewhere.
You know, it's funny. A lot of I worked in corporate America for many years, and when I left and started my own business, I had been really good in my role in corporate America, and I realized when I started my own business how much I undervalued some of the people that made it possible for me to do what I did. You know, it wasn't just me; it
Yeah.
was, and I felt horrible about it. I just felt absolutely horrible that I'd undervalued all these people. And I would say for me, you know, my purpose right now is I want to build a team of people that just impact businesses, you know, help impact other entrepreneurs, but I want them to be the most highly sought after team from my competitors. I want to live in fear that everybody wants to poach my people because they're that darn good. And I want to build the environment for them to thrive. And a lot of that is for me trying to kind of right the wrongs
Yeah.
of my past.
And yeah, if I was teaching a workshop or working with one-on-one, we would dig into that. That's absolutely beautiful. We all have something that ignites us or sparks us for why. We don't just like pick something out of a book. Usually it's like you're so, and that's what you get up for. And that's your personal, I call it your professional purpose. It's kind of like your business ikigai, the reason for being, why you're doing this, why you want to get out there and be visible. And so, yeah, we dig on that. That's a huge start. And then we couple that with, where do you want to go? Like, why are we just getting out here for the sake of being out here? That makes no sense. Just being visible or just saying, getting on LinkedIn, no one's going to do anything unless they have a bigger goal and endpoint, right? And so I'm really help them reveal that to themselves. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes they're just doing it because everyone else says so. Another thing too, if you're not ready and you don't want it, it's probably not a good time. It's okay. You don't have to just do what the masses do. You know, you could come back later. You have to be ready and willing. But that was the whole basis of my TEDx talk, how to flip, you know, when it's not out yet, but you flip the switch. And when you realize, oh, it's not about me, I can get out there because I'm not here for vanity. A lot of my clients, Craig, and you may feel this way too. Oh, Michelle, I just can't be, that's too self-promotional, narcissistic. I am not that kind of person. And I'm like, no, we are not being those Instagram influencers. Nope, we're not doing that. This is all expertise led, you know, stuff that helps teams, businesses, leaders, you name it. So that's a good thing because at the end of the day, that's what business is solving problems. And that's what we're doing getting out there.
So let's move on to the next one, articulate your difference. And I could see a lot of people struggling with that. So, you know, you and I were talking about HVAC before we started the recording. And I mean, there's only so much difference you can have in HVAC. I mean, you know, you have all the standardized equipment, there's a standard way of treating it. You know, and if we change the term HVAC to marketing or even branding, you know, there's a lot of people doing things similar or identical to what we're doing. So how do you find your difference?
Yes, well, I think that's a great example. And you know, one of the you probably see drive, I live in Pensacola, and where you are in Austin, you might drive around and see commercial trucks customer service or even, billboards or whatever, customer service are a priority. Like, don't go in business unless it is, right? Like, I see that as a flag of differentiation. That is not. You're not trying to be better. You're just trying to be different in a way. So I have name recognition. And, I break it out into my Position Yourself Planner book I brought a couple months ago to help people along this process. Start if they're having a, and they don't have me to help them in the moment, I'm like, start with the problem you solve. Can you say the problem that you solve? And then we keep going more narrow-laned. The more narrow-laned, and that's my better word than niche, that really helps us frame that positioning. And then we look at other things too, but we really want this unique edge factor that you are the only one, the category one or whatever, that is doing this for the most part. And maybe you specialize in HVAC for condos, okay? And Florida, that's going to be like, oh, they know the technicality of that, or retirement homes. I mean, there's so many ways to nuance it, and I love doing this step with my clients because I also do competitive advantage and analysis and stuff. But you want to find a way to slice and dice your narrow lane so that when people have that problem from that entity, you're top of mind. And that's what we can control. Now, we can't control every aspect of our brand, but we can control, for the most part, how we, show up, how we position, plant our flag, if you will. And B2B, you know this well, a lot of the places sound alike. And so we don't want that. We want to be different.
There's in the financial advisory space, I won't say it here, his name here on the podcast, but there's one guy I love to pick on because you've seen his ads. I guarantee you've seen his ads and his LinkedIn post and everything. And he goes around and is like, "We're different and we're a fiduciary." And I'm like, well, first off, most people don't really know what a fiduciary is. It's a jargon term that's unique to you. Second thing is the chairman of the SEC said fiduciary is a meaningless term. That, and third, there's 450,000 financial advisors in the US. You all sell basically the same thing using basically the same tools. Don't tell me you're different. And I see, so that's one of my hobby horses is when people go out, well, we're different. I'm like, to the casual observer, if somebody's kind of your drive-by customer or client that you only have a few seconds to capture their attention, and you say, we're different, they're like, yeah, I've heard that before.
You shouldn't even have to say you're different. It should be obvious. And you shouldn't even be saying that. If you have to say it, it's almost like you're not, right? And there's a lot of ways, and I've worked with financial advisors and we really nuance. And the problem with that is they have a lot of regulation on what they can say. But yeah, that's one. But there's ways to do it. And I know someone on LinkedIn who specializes, and this is really cool. She's been on my podcast. She's worked in that industry and she's a brand strategist that specializes just in financial advisors. So sometimes I send people to her now because she just in that world and it's brilliant. So she has got a thriving business just on being the brand strategist for financial advisors. And so that's differentiation, that's positioning right there. She's top of mind. Here I am talking about her on a podcast, and she lives in Canada. So there you go. So it's brilliant. But yeah, you really want to work hard on that. And that was a disconnect. I saw a lot of people, we're better or we're different. And if you had to say it, you're not really. But anyway, it's a great way to do. If you carve your narrow lane, you can always go wider. And that's another thing, Craig. People say, well, I don't want a niche. I don't even like the word niche, but I don't want to get so thin where I'm breaking off. Well, you know what? You're going to go faster, farther when you have that smaller, narrow lane that people know you for. So that's what you want.
And kind of a quick not side note on the financial advisors with the compliance. They're always worried about compliance. My experience, so we've worked in that field. My experience is if you look at compliance as your as an asset, the quality of your marketing will go sky high. Because you have two choices. One is to just go the, and say, all right, we're going to be boring. The other choice is to say, okay, everybody else has these rules that they have to comply by. And if you don't, you get fined, lose your license, maybe go to jail. And So the tight constraints of compliance, at least for me, generated some of my most creative work.
Exactly. You have to be very creative and resourceful in the confines of something, but it can be done. And I've seen some amazing stuff. So yeah, don't just shoot it off to, oh, it's regulated. Let us be, status quo. So that's a good point.
Yeah. All right, so navigate your brand. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's when, okay, we know why you're out there. You've got that purpose that's driving you. We now, the second step, we are your position. We know your difference, your narrow lane. So then you can really be known top of mind to a smaller group that's going to, expand over time. So now we want to communicate that brand. And I have in the book called the Brand Clarity Trifecta. We want to be super clear on your visual, the visual elements, the verbal, that's your messaging. We want to make sure, especially in B2B, there's a lot of jargon. We don't want any of that. We want our messaging to be right for everything we set. And then our visceral, how do we want to make people feel? That's the vibe, the visceral. And that's a big part. That's the brand, strong brand. So when you get that brand clarity trifecta of those three elements, get those set, and every touch point is just aligned and well. So everywhere you show up, it just keeps adding those layers, compound of your brand. Good affinity. I like that. I'm aware. And so you translate that and everything. We make sure socials checked off, LinkedIn, then I can get in the weeds and marketing content. So I'm not going to do that right now. But there's a lot of disconnect. You chip for or against your brand with everything you do. And that's also with, your front lines, your customer service, how you answer, how you communicate. So you want to make sure all that is tied into the brand feel. And it's just an engine when it does. It absolutely starts working and compounding for you. And that's a beautiful thing. And so that not only the brand, the business and the people, the team, the employees, they all know how to show up, act, not act like we're forcing them, but they get it. It all aligns. So that's a huge thing. And marketing comes into that when I work in some marketing aspects with clients as well. So I know you do a lot of marketing too. And so that's just evolving over time. That's the big chunk of it that keeps going and going. All of this keeps going, together. And
Yeah.
then we get to the last step, which we can talk about.
Yeah. Before we go there, so part of navigating your brand, that would be, you mentioned speaking on podcasts and what have you. I'm real curious on your take on this. It seems like post-COVID, the conference and speaking world has shrunk tremendously. At least the conferences that I used to go to, they're a lot smaller. And there's fewer of them. I've seen conferences go out of business. What are you seeing?
I think I'm seeing people are slowly, and that would be for get elevating that authority. So I see, yes, they took a hit. They did. And I actually was in the conference marketing world for, I was the executive director of a professional association. And we had a big conference in Orlando for 2 years. I left right at the last one before COVID hit in 2020. But people now, what I'm getting to read, because I do a lot of social listening, I'm still in that space. I listen to a lot of the industry people. People are hungry for connection now. So they might be not as big, but these smaller ones that are more easy, that are easier and cheaper to put together and faster to turn around, those I think can bring a smaller amount of people together and have a huge impact. Because I used to have to go rep our association to 10,000 person huge conferences. And it was like, oh my gosh, how do you stand out here? So I think the quality versus the quantity, as far as the people and making those tight connections, is what we're craving right now, especially with so much digital, so much AI. And listen, I'm not anti-AI, I use it every day, but it can take our humanity away if we let it. So we need that refresh, recharge of people in person.
Yeah. So as you're getting, so back on navigating the brand, as you're getting the name out there, and you were talking about marketing playing a role, I ran a poll on LinkedIn. And I'm interested in your answer on this. And it's not that there's a wrong answer, but it shows different perspectives. And I asked the question I asked, and it was actually one of my most engaged polls. I asked, by your opinion, what is the most important element of branding? And the choices I gave them was top of mind, I think awareness, And the third was emotional bonding.
That's a
And
great.
so I'm curious, of those three choices, if you could only have one, and obviously that wouldn't be the case, you'd have
It's almost
multiple.
like a trick question because you're all like equal parts of a brand. I think the emotion, okay, ooh, this is almost a trick question setup question back to you. Is the emotional connection positive or negative?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Like
I
if
mean, no,
it's,
and that's,
yeah.
yeah, I published a LinkedIn newsletter where I said, look at Target versus logo or Walmart. When you look at their logos, what are the feelings that you have? And I have much different feelings when I see the Walmart logo than I do when I see the Target logo. And the Walmart's a little bit negative. It makes me think of dirty stores filled with crammed aisles and employees that hate their job.
Now that's at Target, actually. I think it's the emotional connection. I things change on a dime. Have you been to Target lately? It's a mess. It's getting
Really?
better. Oh my God, I won't even go to the one anymore. It's if you I do a lot of social listening and they're junk now. The brand is ruined. I hope they can come back. They're so junky. And Walmart has gone undergone billion-dollar renovations and people are flocking to Walmart now. I mean, not everyone, but
Really?
yeah, trust me. I do. You would not believe. So yeah, I think the emotional connection by this is positive or negative because I, like I said, I would go to Walmart. I'm not Walmart, Target all the time. My kids and we'd, whatever. Then they took out all the snack things and Starbucks, which is just so run of the mill. Anyway, so I kept going there and, like, why are there so many junky Starbucks cups and looks like a thrift store in here. And I, after a couple times, I'm like, I'm not going back to Target anymore. And I wasn't the only one, Craig. People are saying the same thing. So it's the emotional connection for or against, right? So see how it can change on a dime? You would have never in a million years thought that. Now there'll be people who probably think differently from me, but there's enough media and articles to support that I'm not the only one. So I think that's a case where you really need to keep the brand in check at all levels and all places, because who would ever thought the beautiful Targets would come crashing down? And I'm not talking any of their stuff like what their products, I'm just talking about their surface level store stuff. So things can change on a dime. So you've got to protect that brand asset and equity at any moment. Because look, these are the things that. So anyway, that's a great question. I love that. That's why I love brand. You can't put a thing on it, just like your poll. There's so many moving parts, right? So it's fascinating.
Well, and one of the things that I see when I hear people talking about branding, one, you have the people that think the brand is the logo, the fonts, and the colors. And I'm like, and for those that are listening, you should have seen the look she just gave me. She's like, oh,
I don't mean to be like snarky, but yeah, it's a big disconnect. It's part of it, not all of it.
Well, and the way I put it is the fonts, the color, the colors, and the logo are there to remind you.
Yes.
I focus heavily on the emotion. They're
Yeah.
there to remind you of the emotion. And so when we're working with a client, another misunderstanding is people think, well, branding, that's what you do if you're Apple or Nike, but I don't have the money to make a national brand. I'm like, well, if you don't have a mass market product or service, you don't want a national brand. You
Yeah.
want the people in back to your thing, in your lane, the people in your industry, your ideal clients, you want them to know you. Average Joe on the street probably should never even know who you are.
Yeah.
But for the people that you serve, the you want to have a you want to have a brand. And so one of the things that we focus on, and this is very much in the spirit of Metzon, that we tell stories.
Yes.
Let's say if we're doing lead gen, we'll do lead gen, and anybody that interacts with the ad or visits the website, we create what's called a retargeting audience, and we'll run a branding ad to them that's just telling a story. There's no call to action, there's
Yes.
nothing. And its pure purpose is to create an emotional connection.
Absolutely. I mean, you can, and I think that is the one differentiator is all the stories, and that does not cost money. I mean, yes, you can run ads with it, but people are drawn to stories, especially with too much content and AI-driven content that's all the same. So, That's another differentiator, humanity, your uniqueness, and your stories. And I love those. And you can start telling just stories if you're worried about content and social media, just organic storytelling. You know, our friend Matt Zahn is so good at that. And people are drawn to it. I follow a lot of accounts on Instagram. I'm not a big Instagrammer, but I follow a lot of business accounts on LinkedIn. Excuse me. I follow a lot of business accounts on Instagram that do a lot of storytelling well. And I find a lot of inspiration about that. So that's another thing for a smaller, you know, startup that wants to start telling stories, brand stories.
So let's move on to the last thing, which is you said E, it's proof.
It's elevate your authority, which is the proof points. Yes, we
Okay,
want to know that you're, you know, you say everything you're doing. We want to do business with all these things, but we're especially drawn to people who are the authorities, the leaders in their industry. And this is how you start creating that is diversifying your visibility streams with, you know, publicity, PR, speaking, thought leadership.
okay. So, it's funny. You obviously know my story. I went in the hospital back in 21. I was getting into Pete Vargas's stuff. Do you know who Pete Vargas is? And so I think the first event I really attended was his online event in 2020. He had one scheduled in Florida, and he was genius in what he did. As soon as the lockdowns hit, he pulled his team in. He's like, okay, we just lost our big event of the year where we make all of our money. What do we do? And he held this online event and pioneered a whole new way of doing conferences. And so I attended that. I was like, okay, I need to start getting booked on stages. And then June of 21, he held his annual event again. He held it up in Dallas. And I went up to that and I started working on my speaker page and all that. And that was June of 21. 6 weeks later, I wake up sick and then start my 3 month journey through the hospital. And when I got out, just for those that don't know, when you're in a coma, you don't wake up and like life goes back to normal. Your body just completely deteriorates. And so the first time I was able to speak was almost a year later, and speak at a conference. It was
Oh, okay. I was going to say it took you a year to speak. I didn't realize that. Wow. Okay.
no.
Speak at
Speak
a
at a
conference,
conference.
back on stage. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it was almost a year later, and it was in Vegas, and it was at Caesar's Palace, and I was staying next door at the Mirage. I remember at the end of the first day, I was at a party after party up in one of the suites. I left the suite. I go through the form at Caesar's Palace. I get to kind of the end, the shopping center, and I'm wiped out. And I sit down. I want to lay down and take a nap. But I know if I fall asleep on a bench in Vegas, I'm going to get robbed. But I rest for about 10 minutes. Then I get up and I walk next door to the Mirage. I can make it to the casino floor. I sit down and rest again.
Oh my goodness.
And after another 10 minutes rest, then I finally go up to my room. And so it was always frustrating. I'd just done all this work to get ready to get on the speaking circuit and then got hurt, thrown a huge curveball. And I haven't been able to do much with it. How do people getting on stages, especially if the stages are shrinking, seems hard.
Well, you know, you're going to start. I mean, there's still the big ones, don't get me wrong, but if you're starting, you want to start. So you're this is interesting you asked me this because I think before we went live, I said, "Are you doing any speaking?" Because first of all, your story is incredible. And I work with speakers too to get their speaker brand blueprint done too, running through the Own Your Lane thing, running their through line, their story, their big message, tying it to their business. So I would say get all that set up. I don't know if you ever had that done or done that lately or whatever, since your, you know, curveball. And then you would start, there's a lot of different ways to start that process. But I would start just getting in front of speakings. I'm a member of the National Speaker Association, especially the New Orleans chapter. And I participate there. I'm actually speaking for them in September about speaker branding. And I would start getting involved in those kind of organizations. They're here to help and get you set. You know, here's the thing, their tagline and their mission is basically saying what I love about branding and what I'm talking about here is like speaking is a form of service. and giving solutions and inspiration. So I would get all that set up, and then I would start just getting on. You want to be a speaker? Just start speaking. Start speaking locally. Start speaking everywhere. And then you're gonna, if that's where most speakers get booked, is in front of other people. Yes, you can pitch and stuff. I mean, we used to hire big name speakers and breakout speakers too. So I know the other side as well, working with speaker bureaus, my meeting planners, but just start speaking. You'll get more reps in, you'll get your message honed, you know, you'll get hopefully the message out there, but you'll just keep seeing what, you know, lands better. It's just a beautiful process of putting yourself out there. So I think you should do it. And the funny thing, you ask, and that's what I asked. So that there's a sign right there. Go for it.
Well, and I would say to anybody else, the one of the things, so I started doing podcasts in 23. I believe it was 23. And yeah, it was 23. And I did, I think, 70 podcasts in 2023.
A lot.
And one of the things I learned was the more I was on podcasts, I would start adjusting what I would say. And I remember one thing in particular, you know, so I talk about, you know, generally talking about first time offers on podcasts, and getting them right is just incredibly hard. If you have a high ticket complex service, getting the off, you know, the front end offer for the low ticket front end offer right that leads to that is a lot harder than it looks. And so I would try to tell people that. And one time I said, my first time offer failed. My second first time offer failed. My third first time offer failed a little bit less. And the host laughed. I was like, oh, well, let me try that again. And all of a sudden I realized, okay, that's the way I need to deliver that. That's a place where you can get the reps in. So when you go on stage, you can deliver punchier lines.
Exactly. It's the same thing. And yeah, I mean, and the beautiful thing is you're saying you're hosting and guesting, right? That you add that even together, because you, as a host, because I do two podcasts, you've got to be able to turn on a dime too sometimes. So you're turning a dime both ways. So yeah, that is an added advantage. And then you couple that with is don't be, you know, don't turn down anything to speak when you're just starting, because you need that reps to get be a better speaker. No one becomes an athlete just getting out on the stage. They work their way up from, you know, 5 years old or whatever they did, you know. Same thing for speaking. And but yeah, so you're already halfway there. You're ready to get back in it. So I'm cheering you on. I have a special place for speakers when I work with speakers, because it's just a beautiful process. And you're impacting so many people at scale. That and authors. I love working with speakers and authors too. But especially speakers, because it's live, it's in the moment, it's that connection, and you're helping people and they need it with your expertise. So keep me posted on all this. I'm cheering you on, Craig. This is amazing.
Well, thank you. Well, Michelle, this has been amazing. Let me see if I have the 4 points. The first is, what's your purpose? The second is, articulate your difference. The third is, navigate your brand. And the third, fourth is, what, elevate your brand and create the
Yeah,
proof.
LANE. So launch your vision, articulate your difference, navigate your brand, elevate your authority. So yeah, try to make it easy, Lane. And I'll have more, another book out this year, later this year, about putting yourself out there, incorporating the own your lane with my TEDx talk theme. And so I'm just going to keep writing and speaking and hopefully, you know, impacting people so they can get their brilliance out and change the world one person at a time, right?
Well, that's awesome, Michelle. How can people reach you?
Oh, thank you. Well, a couple different ways. First of all, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm at Michelle B. Griffin. B stands for brand. I always like to say people remember that. And tell me you heard me here. I always love to connect the dots, and I love connecting with people. I'm a huge people person. So LinkedIn, I'm very active on LinkedIn. And my hub is Michelle B. Griffin. Again, B stands for brand, michellebgriffin.com. You can check out my books, my podcasts, my resources. Just anything I can help you with, reach out, because it's truly my professional purpose, Craig, is to help brilliant people get their message, their expertise, their thing out into the world. And that's why I'm here. So I love it, and I'd love to hear from you, whoever's listening.
That's awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to finally meet you and to have this conversation. It's been brilliant.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.